Hey guys, it's Brianna here. Welcome to another episode of Oh Brother, your favorite Big Brother podcast, where I'm joined by my Big Brother obsessed friends to chat all things BB. Listen as we discuss all of the alliances, backdoors, and twists you love to watch. Plus, we'll let you in on some live feed moments that you may have missed. Enjoy! We're back, and Shauna is back. It's been a while.
Hello again.
Since we haven't spoken to you in a bit, I want to get a read on how you've been feeling the past couple weeks. So, tell me, who are you rooting for right now? Slash, who ideally would you like to see go home next?
Ooh. I'm rooting for Jag. I think out of everyone left in the house, I really only care about Jag. Who do I want to see go home? All of them? Except for Jag? No, I would say next up, I'd like to see Felicia leave.
What? My girl. Not Bowie first?
Oh, I forget. She doesn't count. I always forget about her. Yeah, sure. Bowie can go next. No.
Although, if you're rooting for Jag, he wants to take Bowie to the end. So.
Yeah, I'd like to see a Bowie-Jag final, too. I just feel like maybe with Felicia gone, Sari will, like, play a little and give me something to watch.
Give us something. Anything.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Well, this episode will be interesting then because I'm very anti-Jag right now and we were very much on the same page, I feel like, the last time you were on. So this will be fun. But let's jump right in. So the Sunday episode started off with the powers being unleashed. We got a little preview of what they were going to be in the previous episode. But the first one was the BB power of invisibility, aka Invisible HOH. And Julie also reveals that the Invisible HOH is able to play the following week, which is interesting because the other time, so I think when we were watching these episodes, we were talking about like when's another time they had done this. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I'm pretty sure they did it recently, but I can't remember. I went and looked it up and I had forgotten that on Claire's season, they did that thing where they could like play for powers. Mm-hmm. And she got the like coin of destiny or whatever it was called, and so she took over Tiffany's HOH and was essentially the invisible HOH.
Okay, that week. I had a feeling there was some sort of power, but when we were talking about it, we couldn't remember if it was like just an extra nom or like a invisible like veto.
Yeah, I was like, I know there was some power, I'm like, I don't think it was HOH, but you were right, it was an HOH takeover essentially, which it's pretty much the same thing as an invisible HOH. So it was like Tiffany made her nominations, then the coin of destiny got flipped, Claire took it over, and then made new nominations.
Yep.
And then she was HOH for like replacement noms, I think. But the interesting thing is this season, and you would think in a season where the same people have been winning back-to-back comps, they wouldn't have done this, but every other time they've done an invisible HOH, the person has been required to throw the HOH the following week.
Yep.
And they didn't do that this time, which I think is weird.
I guess it goes with the whole...
Like it adds to the power, yeah. which I think is cool. But I was like, for a season where people are winning like back-to-back things, you would think that they would make it so that someone else, you know what I mean? But obviously, like, this HOH is the ideal one to win, again, because A, you get the opportunity to be invisible, and you get to play the following week, so there's really no reason to throw it.
You don't get candy in a basket.
Yeah, that's true. They eliminate, like, any reason not to win it, I feel like. Corey immediately goes to America, Jag and Matt, and is like, okay, so we all need to tell each other if we win, because they had established previously that they're the last two duos in the house and everyone's going to come after them. So, like, they have to work together. So it's the four of them. I think they were in the bathroom and he's like, we all need to tell each other if we win. But then they cut to, like, the DRs and pretty much all of them were like, we're probably not going to do that. The HOH itself was BB Comics, which is usually a veto, but I liked that it was an HOH this time just because everyone got to play.
Yeah, I only liked that it was an HOH because Bowie didn't get to play and I didn't have to watch her play it.
I literally, when they cut back to everyone in the house and they were like revealing the times, I was like, oh, that's weird. They didn't show any clips of Bowie
playing.
And then I was like, oh, she didn't play because she was HOH. But in the moment when they were competing, I didn't even remember that she was there.
Same.
Like, I didn't think of her until they showed her. And I was like, wait a second. I do kind of think, though, they should have done a different style of competition for the Invisible HOH just because I feel like because it was BB Comics, it made it easier to narrow down who would win.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, it wasn't
just some obscure, like, guess how many, I don't know, jelly beans are in that jar over there.
Yeah,
thing.
Or even, like, something that requires a little bit of strategy or, like, a puzzle of some kind or, like, something where you have to stack things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one, because there was so much of a physical component, I feel like kind of narrowed down, like, who the people were that could have been the winners. But before we get to, like, times and stuff, which comic was your favorite?
Oh, I should have pulled it up before.
I can say mine if you want to think about it.
Yeah.
My favorite was Red's, the Chill Billy, just because I felt like it fit him really well. I liked the comic itself.
Yeah, I liked the animation, but, like, I don't think that's a superhero name.
Already
a name.
Yeah, but I liked that, I forget exactly what it was, that, like, his power was, like, something about, like, making people, like, chill or something like that. I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was, like, actually related to him versus, like, a lot of them, I was like, this is so stupid. It has nothing to do with the actual person.
Yeah, I liked the Haha Heisum.
That one was, like, the scariest one.
Kind of like the Joker.
Uh-huh.
So I liked that.
I feel like Heisum probably hated it, but I thought it was cool.
And I liked the Muffin Man or Muffin Hands.
Muffin
or
Hands.
Whatever he was.
That one, I think, if I were Jared, like, if I'm looking at it from, like,
I'm outraged if I'm Jared.
Yeah, like, that's the worst one to get as a person.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny because, like, that's what Suri calls him. Corey's was bad.
Corey's took us so long to even figure out what it was.
Yeah, we were like, Alba Corey? Is he from, what did you say? Is he from Albuquerque?
I was like, is he from Albuquerque? And it's like an Alba Corey thing.
And then I was like, oh, what did I say? An albatross. I'm like, is an albatross a fish? And then I was like, nope, it's a bird. So, like, it's not that.
Yeah.
And then I literally just started typing in Alba Corey to try to see if anyone else had said.
Mm-hmm.
And then it auto-filled in albacore. So I searched that, and that's a fish. So I was like, is there some connection I'm missing here? I could not figure out what it was, but I don't feel like that. I feel like they were just looking for a word that they could put Corey into.
Yeah. I think, like, as a general superhero fan, I'm like, maybe it's like an Aquaman type.
Yeah, I guess.
By association, but it just looks weird.
But, like, if you want him to be the, like, if you wanted to do that, you should have done something with Matt as, like, the Aquaman type of deal.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fit with the
Instead,
albacore
he got
thing.
Poltergeist.
Yeah, Poltergeist, which I didn't mind. His was all right.
It's not a superhero. That's,
yeah,
like, a supernatural thing.
It's like a, well, they leaned into, like, villains because Heisum was villainy. America was Nightmarica.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wonder if just because it was, like, during October, they leaned into some of them being, like,
oh, could be
season, like, right, ish.
What was Felicia's something with the kayak?
Yeah, I forget the name of it. Hers, I don't even think had her name in the,
yeah, it was, like, the kayak queen or
something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I think Red's was my favorite.
What was Mikul's? I can picture the image, but not what it was called.
Oh,
she was, like, in,
yeah,
the city.
She was, like, stomping.
But I never actually captured what the name was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And then Cerise was good, like, for her.
Yeah,
like, if you're, like, in the house and you get one, you'd think that was kind of funny, like, that it was the whatever robe something.
Yeah. And then Blues was the kitty purr, which,
yeah,
like, of course they're gonna do that.
Hers actually was good.
Hers was cute,
the catchphrase part too, like the boots down or whatever.
Yeah. I don't remember what Bowie's was, but like, who boomerang. Cares? Oh yeah, it was like also
her face like on a boomerang.
It was also weirdly worded, like it was like the Bowie ring or something. Yeah, which something doesn't make strange. Sense.
I feel like we're missing.
I'm missing a bunch because it's all the evicted people too. But I don't really give a shit about them. Kirsten, to be honest.
Like yeah. A picture. I don't remember what Riley's was either.
The Nash villain.
Oh.
They were saying hers. She looked hot in hers. Oh. They were talking about that.
And by that, you just mean Matt.
Probably just Matt. He probably was like, can I get one of those for my...
Yeah, right.
The have-not room to just hang out.
I know. They should just let them all take them in. I know that they save them for...
Yeah, they give them giving to you after.
But they should give one copy just to
right?
The
they have two of each, so... During the actual competition, could have been an editing thing that like leads you to believe that they're doing it this way, but I was frustrated because they kept like going through and then being like, oh, I just want to do one final check to see if I need to like swap anything. And I'm like, just hit the button first. Cause yeah. Like if you're right, but then also like, I think it was Blue or one of them was like, okay, hit the button. I know something's wrong. I'm pretty sure it's this one, but I'm not positive. So I'm going to go across one more time. Like, just if you think it's that one, switch it.
Yeah.
And then hit the button because it was. Like, on her, I think it was Blue, on her turn, it was the one that she called out that was the problem. But I'm like, it could very well just be the way they edited it. That,
I wonder.
Maybe she did that already. Or, like, maybe she really wasn't positive. And then in the DR, she just... They were just like, oh, then you switch this one. So, like, talk about that.
Yeah, so then, yes, you just say that.
So, I don't know what the case is, but I'm like, they made it seem like they were going across, like, too many times.
Yeah, it did seem like they were all going across a bunch of times.
And that's what takes the most time. I liked Matt's strategy of, like, going really slow across.
To, there's
like,
always someone that's trying to, like, wiggle their body back so that they're not.
He was like... He would, like, lean and, like, just keep his toes on the edge and then, like, let go.
Yeah.
And, like, go super slow across. I'm like, honestly, that's pretty smart. Because some of them were flying across. I'm like, how are you even seeing anything?
And then Sari, like, every time she would, like, have to drop, she was so afraid to do it.
Yeah, she's like, doesn't want to let go.
I genuinely thought that was a setup to her, like, spraining an ankle or something.
I know. I was like, these older...
I was like, just fall onto your butt. Why are you trying to land on your feet?
I know. Like, your knees as, like, an older person, too. I'm like,
and just, like, it looked soft enough that she was going in a little bit every time. So I get that she probably doesn't want to have to, like, pull her whole body up. But I'd rather, like, have to roll off that mat on television than land, like, wrong on my ankle.
I know.
I don't know.
I had the thought, too, like, when Felicia was going, because she's so tiny, and she's, like, dropping from way up there. And some of the times she would just drop on her butt. Sometimes she would drop on her feet. But I'm like, her knees, her hips. I'm like, you never know. I feel like a little dangerous. I don't know. The only time they didn't show was Cerise, which I imagine means that she timed out, maybe. Because they didn't show her finishing.
I didn't notice that they showed times.
Well, they showed... They all talked about their times.
Oh, okay.
So I, like, wrote them down. Felicia's was 18:46, which I think not surprising. Aside from Suri, who I assume timed out, she had the longest. And then Blue had 15:24, which is embarrassing, I think.
I'm not surprised, though. I feel like her technique was weird.
Yeah. She went across too many times, it seemed like to me.
Yeah.
And then Matt had 13:37. Matt has been the biggest flop in terms of people they probably casted to be like comp beasts that have sucked.
Yeah, but
at
I'm not
them.
Surprised that he's like too dumb between the eyes to be watched, like looking at two images and figuring it out.
I know, he was going so slow and he still couldn't.
Yeah,
well, maybe that's why it took so long. Corey had 11:11, which if I were him, I would have lied about that time because that time sounds suspicious.
Just
I would have been
go
like
down
11:13 or something.
Yeah,
and then America had 10:53, so her and Corey were pretty close. And then Jag blew everyone out of the water with 8:30. But he lied and said that his time was 9 minutes, which is hilarious because that's still lower than everyone else.
Yeah. I also think I could see why Jag won because at the very end, he presses his button to lock it in and he's already sprinting back to the ladder because I think he like didn't know what would be wrong.
Exactly, which is what you should be doing.
Yeah. So if he was doing that like every time, he probably shaved off like a solid minute to a minute and a half. I mean, he still blew them out of the water even with that extra minute and a half. But yep. Like, say you hit that button a dozen times and each time you book it after versus like turn yeah. around and like have to like get your energy back up and start running or whatever. Yeah, none of them ever do that shit.
And 90% of the time, I feel like that's all these competitions require is a little bit of hustle. It's like, yes, you have to be accurate and like pay attention, but also it's those little times where you can shave off some seconds to get closer.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to be doing that this season. So then they go back in the house, and obviously it's invisible HOH, so you would think Jag would be smart enough to keep it a secret. However, Jag's an idiot.
Be nice.
In the episode, they made it seem like he only told Matt, Corey, and America before any like veto stuff, which already is too many people. Like, you should have just told Matt and like otherwise kept it to yourself. Because the whole point of this is that like you don't have to get any blood on your hands. But what actually happened was in the first less than 24 hours that Jag had the invisible HOH, he told every single person in the house aside from Felicia and Blue, which were his nominations. He even told Bowie. But he
Bowie's an ally.
But he made it this convoluted thing where he told Matt. And then he told Matt, I'm going to tell Sari, Bowie, Corey, and America, but I'm going to tell them you're the only one who knows. So now it's this confusing thing where, like, when Jag has conversations with Bowie, he has to pretend that Sari and Corey and America don't know, but Matt knows. And then he has to talk to Corey and America as if Bowie and Sari don't know, but Matt knows. And he's, like, trying to keep all this straight. And then eventually I think he just was like, okay, like, they all know. Like, he was sick of, like, trying to hold up this appearance that, like, Matt was the only one that knew. Which, like, I don't know why that really matters anyways.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, this whole chaotic thing. And he's stressing about... I was dying laughing because he was having a conversation with Matt about his nominations. And he had already told Sari and was still deciding on if he wanted to put Sari up. And she already knew he was HOH. And he was talking to Matt about, like, oh, well, I don't know how to do this to not get blood on my hands, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, it was invisible. Like,
yeah.
The whole point of it was that you didn't have to tell anyone.
Yeah, the way to do it is just tell no one.
No one at all. Or, like, after it's over, be like, you didn't go up. I was invisible HOH, I saved you, to like try to get something out of it if you need to use it later. But like in the moment, and you also don't know what's going to happen with the POV. So like you're going to have to probably put up someone who knows your HOH.
Yeah, like when he decided that he was going to go for Corey in America.
Right.
It was like a whole big thing. And I was like, you could have just put them up and no one would have ever known.
Exactly.
But I would like to caveat that I like Jag just because I want him to win. And I don't care about anyone else. I do not think Jag is like the next Dan Gieseling.
Oh, no. Yeah. I love Jag. I think like personality-wise, he's great. He's just not great at this game. But he's a competition beast, so he may win out. And if that's how he gets there, then that's how he gets there. So like I mentioned, he was debating between nominating Sari, some combination of Sari, Blue, and Felicia, with his target being Blue. No matter what the noms were. So if he decided to nominate Sari and Felicia, it was going to be like a backdoor situation. He lands on nominating Felicia and Blue, probably because he realized he had already told Sari he was HOH and he didn't want to have to have a conversation with her to be like, I'm going to put you up. Oh, he also mentioned like, oh, I really don't want to nominate Corey and America because if one of them goes home, then Matt and I will be the only duo left, which I thought was smart in the moment. So obviously Blue doesn't know that he's HOH, so he's trying to make Blue think that Corey is the HOH, but Blue is doubtful because the competition like finish time was really fast, and she was like the only person that could go that fast would be Jag, which is true. I think if Jag wanted to sell it that it was either Corey or America, he should have probably leaned into America more.
Yeah, because Blue just got so much taken out of her with that comp, and because it took her so long, you also think it's harder than it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like even harder to believe that Corey could right. have fucking done that.
Exactly. My favorite scene in the whole episode was Felicia being a mob boss walking up to the hammock where Jag and Corey are, because she's like, I know one of these two want it, so I'm a straight shooter, I'm just gonna go and ask them and see how they react. She walks up and she goes, so who's the real target? Jag is an awful liar. Corey, she was like, she clocked it so well in her DR. She was like, Corey, he didn't really change much. He was like his same personality, his same attitude.
Yeah.
She was like, Jag, he's shifty, blah, blah, blah. And like, we can give Felicia credit for that, but we also have to acknowledge that Jag's just not a great liar. Yeah,
terrible liar.
But I just thought that was so funny. And like, this is why I like when older players are in the house, because they just do not give a shit.
Yeah.
And will say whatever.
Now, for me, if I'm in the house, I'm sending Felicia home early because I'm getting irritated at that shit.
And that's why she's been nominated so many times. They've all been open about, like, we wouldn't care if she went home because she's starting some trouble.
Yeah.
So she's getting herself in trouble with that shit, but it's so fun to watch. Corey's going around saying if he wins HOH, he's putting Jag and Matt on the block, which I don't think is a secret to anyone. But, like, when you know Jag's the HOH, maybe don't say that.
Yeah. I will never understand the need for this particular group to, like, constantly... maybe it's just Big Brother and it's been a while since I've watched the last seasons, but, like, just shut up about who you're going to put up when you win HOH, having not won HOH yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't give names unless there is, like, a clear path of strategy of, like, why you're saying it. They'll just sit there and be like, I'm going to put up this person, and I'll be putting up this person. I'm like, the only one that doesn't do that is Bowie. Maybe Bowie does deserve to win.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where I will sit at home and say, like, oh, I would never do that. But there's so much, like, time that you're just sitting around, and, like, they're planning ahead.
And you
so
do,
they're,
like,
talking about stuff.
The game is a give and take when it comes to relationships. Like, you have to be willing to, like, say that stuff so no one's like, well, he never throws, like, anything out.
Uh-huh.
But just, like,
there's a way to do
it. In.
Yeah. They're really messy with it this season. So messy with it.
Like, give a little bit and then wait a week or two and then you can, like, say something else about someone else. But they're just always going.
And this week is a clear example of the fact that that strategy is even worse this season, because this cast is so, they have such big mouths that nothing is kept a secret. Like, no. The only people that will get information and keep it to themselves until it's useful to them are Sari and Mimi, who's now gone.
Yep, technically Blue when it comes to the fucking knowing that Sari was Jared's mom.
Yeah, when it's, like, inconsequential for the most part. But this week is a clear example of that, because America decides she really doesn't want Blue to go home. And so she decides to tell Blue that she is the actual target. Jag and Matt are targeting her. But Blue doesn't buy it. And this is, like, the second or third time that someone has given Blue correct information. And she has been like, I don't believe it. And I don't know if it's, like, she's just being dumb, or if she doesn't care if she's wrong or right, and that, like, she'll just do whatever she wants to do to get herself to the end. But I was like, she's literally telling you the truth. Not that you have a reason really to believe America.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened also when Cam was, like, on his way out and was, like, giving her information. Like, he has nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, he's not going to lie to you. And she didn't believe him. But then when Sari said it, she was like, okay, maybe I do believe this. It was the same thing in, like, previous weeks with Blue, too. So I'm like, I don't know. Just, like, maybe take information in and then keep your mouth shut next time. It worked out in her favor this time around, though, because she immediately went to Matt and Jag and told them what America said. Which, of course, led to them being nominated, which we'll get to later. But yeah, these people have some big-ass mouths, and that's what's getting everyone in trouble.
Loose lips.
Sink ships. So they find out about the BB power of multiplicity, in that everybody gets to play for two vetoes. Well, everyone aside from whoever wins the first one gets to play in both competitions. The first one is Superhero Training Academy. Well, I guess they're both Superhero Training Academy, technically. And it was the classic rope swing competition. And another endurance comp where they made it very clear how weak this cast is. Every single person was out in 22 minutes aside from Blue and Jag. Although America did throw it, which was really fucking stupid.
I didn't know she threw it. Yeah. I think America just says things sometimes, though.
Like, she was too embarrassed that she only got 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, I felt that way about the button at some points, where I was like, could she really have gone for, like, 6 more hours, like she said? Or does she just like to be like, oh, I could win things, I just don't.
Yep. I know.
I don't know.
It's hard to know.
I sound like Jared, I guess.
Corey was cracking me up because he was leaning so far back that when he would start spinning, he was going like a top. Everyone else was like spinning, but like not a ton. There's always
one person.
And then Corey's got his fucking body like sideways and he's spinning and spinning. And I'm like, no wonder why he only lasted like 15 minutes, because homie is spinning around like a teacup. But the funny thing is, I had seen on Twitter / watching feeds that Jag had won. And I knew that it was a battle between Blue and Jag. But I kept hearing people saying like, oh, you guys went for 2 hours. But then when everyone else was down in 22 minutes, I was like, oh, they must have been exaggerating that it was 2 hours. Because I'm like, if all those people went out in 22 minutes, there's no way they went for 2 hours. And then as the episode continued, they kept putting the time. They're like, okay, it's been 43 minutes. It's been 1 hour and 11 minutes. It's been 1 hour and 45 minutes. And then they got to 2 hours and 3 minutes or 6 minutes or whatever like the final time was. I was like, holy shit. These two were literally battling for it. And I have to give massive props because it looked really hard.
Yeah, I never really even want to try that one.
I do, just because I want to see how hard
it is. I
don't
want to I don't want to bang against the thing. I don't want to spin. I don't want my, like, the inside of my elbows to be like sore. I feel like none of it would be fun.
They were all complaining like after and the next day about how sore they were.
Imagine complaining about how sore you are when someone else is on it for 2 hours longer.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be like, shut your mouth.
I'm pretty sure Julie said it was a record too. Record time. But this one I think is kind of harder to quantify like a record, because I've seen clips from some of the previous ones on Twitter and they were going a lot faster and they were hitting that thing a lot harder in other seasons. So I'm like, it's probably why they lasted longer this time around. They went slower. But either way, 2 hours is a long time. So Jag wins and he has to go back inside the house. And then the rest of the house guests find out that the second competition, they have to guess times for how long Jag can just hang and spin around in a circle. And then for every 15 seconds that he's up there, he gets $500. I thought this was interesting. I don't feel like they've done anything like this, at least not recently.
No, I really liked it.
Yeah, something different. And there's really no like strategy behind, because at first I was like, oh, like if Jag and Matt like know this is the competition, like he could just say, oh, I'll only go for 15 seconds, so put like a really low time or something, but like they would have never known,
because they're gonna do this strategy again, that they'll have to change it up, because now anyone who is like a super fan that goes in would like
talk
with
about
their
it.
Like BFF be like, okay, well, just like always underestimate and I'll only hang on for so long.
I think that's why they stopped, or they at least super infrequently do hide and go veto, because now people know, talk about it before, I'll tell you where mine is. Like, you kind of pregame it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that they didn't have that opportunity this time.
Yeah. I do love hide and go veto.
It is a fun one. But I think they also got sick of them trashing the house too.
Which is funny because they make them clean it.
Yeah.
And I feel like rarely do they like break. I think they broke a bed once.
Breaking things. Yeah.
It's probably like IKEA furniture, so I'm sure the drawers on that shit. Like,
I think it is IKEA furniture because the house guests have talked about like, oh, I know this one. It's the like whatever like
Swedish
dresser. Shirt. Yeah. Blue guessed 105 seconds and she was closest to the 110. But I think Corey was also really close. He was like closer, but I think went over or something.
No, I think she was closer both ways because she was only five off and he was at like, I think he was like 20, like 125. I remember being like, oh, it's like 5 versus 15 or something.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, she was closest, like literally 5 seconds away, which was pretty crazy. And then the furthest from the correct time got punishments, which of course were Felicia and Sari.
Both having guessed 600 seconds.
Yeah, something wild.
And Felicia definitely was not trying to throw it.
No. Bowie also guessed like a really outrageous time too, but hers was like a little bit less.
Yeah, she was at like
5 something.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Felicia got 24-hour solitary confinement in the comic room, and Sari got the superhero quick change, which is hilarious because they probably both would have enjoyed the other person's punishment.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like Felicia's 24-hour solitary was just a waste of time. Like, they put it in the episode, and they're like, yeah, it was, like, funny or whatever, but it didn't really change anything, even though
she was on the block.
I guess maybe if she was out there running her mouth for 24 hours, they wouldn't have used the veto on her or something.
Yeah,
but
you never know.
I really don't think that would have changed anything. And then Cerise's superhero quick change was just cracking me up because she's so over it. But again, like, seemed like a sort of unnecessary punishment.
Yeah, I don't think they normally do like punishments this late in the season.
Yeah, the most I feel like they've done is like some kind of unitard maybe.
Yeah, because I'm just like, I was over it. I was like, I'm not really, this isn't entertaining me.
No.
There's not enough people in the house. They're all kind of over it. So, like, makes me over it.
Yeah. The only clip that I found entertaining was the X-ray vision one, because every time she was saying, like, the fiber gummies, try to get them to put that under there.
Yes.
And then they just kept fucking with her. I was like, they are really trying to piss her off. But eventually they gave in and did put the fiber gummies. So Jag obviously has been told by Blue about America and Corey, and you know, Blue's won a veto now, so of course she's going to come down. Jag has won a veto, so he can basically do whatever he wants with his nominations. And he decides, okay, I'm probably going to backdoor Corey and America, which you can't really call it a backdoor because they both played in both vetoes and America threw it. So, like,
yeah,
you can't really call that a backdoor. The thing that, again, like, Jag, with his terrible jury management, I was like, you can't just put them up and like not tell them and then expect them not to be upset about it. He was like, well, it's not gonna matter. They're gonna be blindsided either way. So
it's
gonna tell them. It is true, but I think from like a bitter jury perspective, like, just, I don't know, have a conversation before and make them think that you're giving them the opportunity to like give a spiel or like try to fight for themselves or something.
Yeah.
Like, put some facade. But again, we know Jag's a terrible liar, so he probably would have fucked
up. I'd also rather you just like tell it to me straight by just putting me on the block.
Yeah.
Like, as a juror, like, oh, he yanked me around and let me have conversations with him for 30 minutes and entertained the idea for a day.
Yeah, it's true.
Versus just like, he put me up.
I mean, as a viewer, it was way more fun to see them get blindsided than it would be for him to, like, give them a heads up.
Yeah, America's face.
But, like, jury perspective, I just think Jag forgets that he needs people's votes in the end. Felicia gets out of her solitary confinement and finds out that Jag is the HOH who put her up, but it's fine because he's going to use the veto on her and put up Corey in America, and she's thrilled. As she should be. But just so funny that, like, I don't know. there's no being upset at the fact that he put you up in the first place. Then Jag tells Blue he's the invisible HOH, kind of turns it around on Corey and America, and he's like, oh, they got in my ear about you, blah, blah, blah. And Blue is just eating it up again. Like, I don't know if she's playing dumb or if this is just really what she believes, but I guess at this point she probably didn't care because she had the veto anyways.
Yeah. It's just like there's not really any other paths in this game. Like, I feel like at this point, normally there's more of like a divisive split between the house or like several pockets of capable players. But like what you have here is like Felicia and Ceree, which like they could make it if people keep forgetting about them and like battling with each other, which is what they're hoping for. And then you have like the two duos, but like they're kind of working together. Like they keep saying they're not, but I'm like, you're basically working together.
Yeah.
And then like Blue and Bowie.
Yep.
So it's just like very, I don't know. There's not a lot of like duality to be watching in the house.
And it's hard too, because the same people, again, like the same people keep winning. So yeah.
That bothers me less when those people have like a side of the house behind them,
right?
And it's like, okay, at least you're taking shots back and forth. Instead, it's just like, yes, they're playing together, but
they're targeting different people every time.
Yeah. And I don't know, just something not right with it.
I also think that it is magnified by the fact that this season is 100 days long. So, like, at this point, I'm sick of seeing the Camerons and the Jareds and the Jags win everything.
Yeah.
But normally, the season would be over by now. So, maybe if it were a shorter season, I would be like, oh, that was fun to watch, like, so-and-so, like, beast mode, like, a bunch of competitions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, now we're sick of it because it's been going on for so many weeks at this point. So, we get to the veto meeting. Of course, not surprisingly, Blue uses the veto on herself and Jag puts America up. And you could kind of see, like, almost see her realizing in real time what was happening. Because at first, I think she looked nervous, but she knew Jag was the HOH. So I almost wonder if in her head she was like, oh, he's pulling a stunt where, like,
yeah, because I said to you, why was she not looking at Corey?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he had the other veto and I just got put up,
you would assume
I'd keep looking at Corey as like, oh shit, like one of us is going home, we're both going to be on the block in like a second. And she wasn't doing that. And I was like, why is she just looking at Jack?
Yeah. So I was like, maybe in her mind, he's pulling a stunt where like they're going to put her up, or he's going to put her up as the invisible HOH, then take her down and put someone else up. But then, of course, we see him use the veto on Felicia, and it, like, dawns on her. Again, you see it in the moment, like, she literally starts crying while she's sitting there.
Yeah.
And Corey goes up. So, very fun to watch. Like, I'm trying to think, like, of the other blindsides, which was my favorite. Maybe this one.
Yeah, Hysom's had a lot of, like, hype, but didn't land the way it was intended to.
It's so funny because they even talked about it this week after putting America and Corey up. They're like, every time we do a blindside, we hype it up and we talk about how excited we are, but then when it happens, it just feels shitty.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how it's been every single time it has happened. Like you said with the Hysom one, like, they talked a big talk, and then when they did it, they were like, oh, now we feel like shit, like, it didn't actually go over the way we wanted it to. He was just sad. Like, yeah. He didn't, like,
you could even tell Felicia, like, had her little speech about why take out a pawn when you can go after a king.
Yes.
And, like, she didn't say it with, like, any real, like, gusto, because she's just like, oh, I'm just an asshole.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, certain things are just intended to be said between you and your friends and not actually ever make it out of the group chat.
Right.
And a blindside is, like, the horror of seeing something, like, make it out of the group chat. And you're just like, oh, this isn't good. We're just assholes.
Yeah. Like, oops. Maybe we should have toned this down a little bit.
But, yeah, so I would say I think Corey and Americus is better just because of the fact that they had the two vetoes and she didn't, like, fully understand it.
Yep. And I like the twist of the two vetoes. Again, I think it would have been better if the HOH was in fact invisible.
It almost makes you wonder, like, how much it would impact a season if there was always two vetoes.
Yeah.
Because you can only forecast so much when all of a sudden it's branching into all these different, like, potential things. You have to be more mindful about what you say. Like, would it have a huge impact, or would it just be like, no, it's just two vetoes?
Yeah. What I was hoping was going to happen, which obviously once I knew Blue was on the block, like, less likely. But what I was hoping was going to happen was, like, two people who weren't on the block and weren't HOH to win the vetoes, then use the vetoes so that Jag had four people who were now safe.
Yeah.
And then have only, like, two or three people to pick from, basically. Just because I think that would have been fun to watch and, like, puts him in an awkward position. He made the joke
at one point. Was it to Julie where he was like, well, I nominated half the house?
Yeah, yeah. But obviously, like, once you know Blue is up and Jag's competing,
yeah,
like, you probably are pretty sure that, like, Bowie and Saria are not going to win and take them down. But it was a thought that I had.
It does happen sometimes.
America, of course, was very upset, which I think is not surprising. We know that she's, like, feisty and has talked about how she wants to blow up on people, but Corey usually reins her in.
Mm-hmm.
Corey is talking to Jag and is, like, trying to get information out of him, and just America just butts in, is like, what the fuck was that about? Like, she's, like, literally,
and then says nothing else. Then she just stands there, at least in the clip that made it to that, like, episode.
Yeah, because I think he didn't really give her anything.
Yeah,
so she was just angry there for no reason.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of discourse on Twitter about America's reaction, and a lot of people were like, oh, like, she needs to grow up, blah, blah, blah. She's immature. And I am wondering if those are the same people that talk about how, like, oh, it's too kumbaya. Everybody's, like, it's not exciting anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, these are, yeah, her reaction is probably not good for her game. And, like, sure, maybe it's immature. I mean, I think anyone would be upset if, like, they people they were working with put them up on the block. But, like, as a viewer, this is why I watch the show. Like, I want to see people do shit like this.
Yeah. And I honestly don't think it was her being, like, dramatic. I think it's one of those things where she knew that it was her fault that they were on the block now.
Mm-hmm.
Because she went around in her typical America way and was just, like, doing too much without talking it through with Corey first and figuring out why it was a dumbass idea. And she probably knew right away, like, this is definitely on me and not his fault. Like, she said it in the episode.
Yep.
So then you just kind of, like, spiral because you're mad at yourself. So, like, she's not yelling at them because she's actually mad at Matt and Jag. She's mad at herself for not just being loyal to them.
Yeah. And, like, not being, I don't want to say smart enough, but, like, not being good enough at the game to know that you need to keep your mouth shut. Personally, I love the fire. Then when she was in the clip that I saw happen live on feeds, like, so after this happened, obviously, like, I was, like, stalking the live feeds because I'm like, I know America's going to blow up. Some shit's going to go down when these feeds come back. But the feeds were down for so long, and when they came back, it was just a lump in the bed was one camera, which I later found out was both Corey and America. And then everyone else just kind of, like, in little corners, like, hiding.
Yeah.
So I was just, like, waiting, kind of, like, seeing, like, what was going to happen. A couple of people went in. Like, Sari went into America because I think Corey came out at some point and was, like, talking to people. And Sari went over, and she was just still, like, beside herself. She was, like, really upset. Sari went over, and she's like, I know you're upset right now. She's like, feel your feelings, but, like, eventually you need to suck it up. You need to get out of this bed. You need to campaign for yourself. Like, you're still here. And America was doing a little bit of the, like, but I just want Corey to stay. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. And Sari's like, that's probably how you feel right now. But, like, tomorrow when you wake up, you're probably going to feel differently. So, like, just take a deep breath.
Also, sometimes doing that, I wonder, is that, like, the best thing you can do for your game to stay? Is be like, I don't want to play. Anymore. I'm like, I almost wonder if sometimes, I would do that technique.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it does work in people's favor. But Sari was giving her a little bit of advice. Felicia was giving her a little bit of advice. And then finally, she got out of the bed and she went into the bathroom, and both Matt and Jag were in there. And they put this clip in the episode, but the full feeds moment was she walked into the bathroom as they were leaving. And then when she went into the actual door, into where the toilet is, they both turned, looked at each other in silence, and then went back in and sat down back down because they wanted to talk to her, but they knew she didn't want to talk to them. So they were like, we're just going to be here and see if she says anything.
Yeah.
So then she comes out and they're sitting there.
Yeah.
And she has her sunglasses on, and you see the clip where she goes to wash her hands and Jag is like, oh, if you want to talk. And she says literally, fuck off, and walks out, which I was dying laughing. So I replayed it like four times. And he just goes, perfect. And then, like, turns to Matt. And then this is where it cut off an episode. But then Matt goes, literally, grow up. Like, then they were, like, shit-talking her or whatever. Not really shit-talking, but...
Yeah.
Because then eventually Jag was like, she's mad. I get it. Like, yeah. She's allowed to be mad or whatever. But it was fun to watch on feeds, just, like, following both Corey and America to see, like, who they were talking to. So eventually she starts having conversations with people. She starts with Blue. It was a pretty tense conversation. It was a lot longer than what they showed in the episode, naturally. Blue does apologize to her. She's like, I'm sorry that this resulted in you and Corey going up, but like...
No, she's not.
No, she's not sorry. She's like, my game is my game. I'll do what I want. I'm not going to let you tell me what's good for me, which I thought was a wild thing to say. And then she was like... I know that you probably think it's a closed door, but it's not a closed door for, like, basically future, like, working together and stuff. What they didn't put in the episode, which I thought was really weird, Blue is one of those people that when she has conversations where she's upset or, like, there's any kind of tension, she repeats herself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's repeating a lot of the same things. And one of the things she kept saying was, like, you're going to go far. I could see it. You're going to win. You're going to win the next competition. I'm really rooting for you. You're a winner. Like hyping America up. And it came off like so patronizing and yeah. like fake. And America said that later to someone else. And I was like, okay, I guess I did read that right. Because I think if it were me, I would have been like, bullshit. You don't give a shit if I win. Like, you're not rooting for me. You don't think I'm like a winner. America stayed pretty quiet most of the conversation. She obviously, like, held her own and, like, gave her side and stuff. Mm-hmm. And was like, I genuinely was trying to save you type of thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is true. But Blue just, like, talked at her for, like, an hour. Corey then talks to Blue and is, like, the typical spiel. I'll go after Matt and Jag. If I'm still here, I'm a target. They're going to come after me. It's a great pitch. The problem is America is going to have the exact same pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And people want Corey out more than they want America out.
Yeah. Which I think is silly.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know what I think is the better move. I guess America has gotten closer to winning competitions than Corey.
Yeah, like it comes to comp lineup, like what's in the pipeline for the next couple comps. But... I think there's a pretty equal chance either of them could get someone out.
Yeah, they're very, at least Jag and Matt specifically, are very hung up on, they're convinced that the later competitions in the season are more mental comps, and they think Corey will win those. But America is also just as much of a brainiac as Corey is in a lot of ways.
Yeah, which she didn't tell people that she's, like, Ivy educated and stuff, right?
So maybe that's all it is that, like, they're underestimating her in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're somehow convinced that Corey's going to, like, beast mode the second half of the season comps. So they think he needs to go over her. Corey makes the same pitch to Felicia and Sari about going after Matt and Jag. In the episode, they tried to make it seem like there was a potential vote flip going to happen. There were conversations, but they were all hypothetical. It was never, like, an actual flip, yeah. I would say, as someone who watched the feeds. So kind of just them trying to make the episode a little bit more entertaining. I don't think that was actually accurate. And then we come to the eviction speeches.
So good.
Corey is first, and I blacked out during most of his speech because I was just processing the fact that in the beginning he said, "Stevie, daddy's coming home."
So fucking funny. And not me, you're laughing at it, and I'm just like, who's Stevie?
Well, I was silent for a second while it dawned on me what it was. Then I was processing everyone else's in the house's reactions, because you could tell even America didn't know he was going to say that by the way she reacted. And then I just like was like, like I was like, I can't believe he just said that. I was like shocked and also laughing at the same time. And then my brain picked back up where at the end he was like outing Jag as the invisible HOH, which is also funny.
Yeah, that the Bowie part was funny.
See, I tuned out the whole middle part because I was still thinking about the Stevie comment.
Yeah, he says it, you kind of react. I'm like, is that his cat? Like, who is he, dog? I was like,
and I was like, it's Cam's daughter.
I thought America's reaction was just like Corey calling himself daddy and not like in the context of making fun of Cam. So I'm like, okay, America weirdly just got turned on that Corey said daddy. He must be talking to his cat or something. Because I presume Corey's a cat guy and not a dog guy.
Oh, yeah, cat vibes for sure.
And then I caught the... And Bowie, and then going off from that, because she loves to do that. But somehow when she does it, it's so uncomfortable.
Because she doesn't, she makes it too theatrical. She doesn't know how to land a joke.
And just no one laughs at it. And then it's just her smug little smile.
And then her being like, that was a joke, that was a joke.
Yeah, and her dopey eyes. But yeah, so Corey's was fantastic, yes. And then just so good with the Stevie part. But people were comparing it to Kylan.
I saw that too. Wild.
Get out of here.
Like, yeah, it's a little bit, I guess, like, Cam is probably going to be like, that's disrespectful or something. But I also think Cam has a sense of humor and he might find it funny.
I think there's like an 80% chance he finds it funny because Corey didn't like add anything or say anything else. Like
a sexual thing. Or like weird about Stevie. Yeah.
Like, one could argue maybe he could have just, like, put in another name or something. But I'm like, it wouldn't have hit as funny. And you know Corey, he was doing, like, he's a super fan. He was like, what's going to get me?
A reaction.
Yeah, a reaction and be remembered when people were like, oh, like, what were, like, the best, like, exit speeches and stuff.
Yeah.
You want your Cody Nixon walking across the table moment.
Or your Michael, I have one, when he got, after he got evicted, I have one more thing to say. And then just running away.
Yep.
That was so funny.
Or throwing the Fruit Loops from a Ziploc bag.
Classic. Yeah, the past couple weeks, both America and Corey have been annoying me more than normal. And I really loved Corey, like, the first half of the season. This speech that he gave was, like, the Corey that I was missing the last couple weeks. Like, just, like, the well-timed humor and, like...
Yeah, the fake ego.
And, like, the super fan vibe of it. Like, the whole thing was great. America, also really good speech. It was a tough act to follow after Corey, but...
Yeah, she nailed it.
She called them out for being the Aston moron and the dumb blonde, which I thought was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then her turning to Corey and saying, thank you so much for being normal. It was, like, very cute. Also, great super fan call out.
Yep. I did like how she also said, it's not game, it's personal.
Yes. And it's probably true.
Yeah. I'm like, some of it was a joke, but I'm like, part of her is like, I mean it.
Not to like plug another podcast. I don't even know if this podcast is still a thing anymore, but there is a podcast called It's Not Game, It's Personal. And it's a Big Brother podcast, and I was always jealous of that. Of that name, so
yeah,
I just
too
to
long
put
though.
In here. It is kind of long, yeah. Not surprisingly, unanimous vote to evict Corey. I was just a little upset that there was no.
Oh wait, can we talk about how great they looked?
Oh yes, their funeral fits.
Yeah, sitting there together. Really
also,
some nice snapshots.
I would like to know if, Julie's stylist knew that they were wearing all black because Julie was also wearing all black. So then when Corey came out for his interview,
mm-hmm.
they were matching.
Yes.
Which was nice.
Looking exquisite.
Yeah. Funeral vibes for sure. I was missing the exquisite call out this episode though. I was hoping they would do some other gag.
Even the previously on Big Brother, the next episode, where it's like the guy doing the voiceover, mm-hmm. he said like something about exquisite house guests. Yeah. And the exquisite house guests. And I was like, oh my God.
That's going to become a thing, which I fear.
I need to know more about this man who does the voiceover. Like, does he watch the show? Like, obviously he knows stuff because he reads it.
I'm like, is someone writing these lines or like, is he...
Yeah. Or like when he gets that part and has to say exquisite, like, do they have to give him like the context real quick from the live episode? Or is he like, yeah, I watched that, was funny?
Yeah. I don't know.
I want to know. Like, I want to find this man's grandkids.
I know, right?
And then work backwards from there.
Yeah. Be like, can we be your friends? Please introduce us. My favorite part of Corey's little like interview with Julie was Julie showing him his transformation. He was such a little boy in the first photo. He actually looked really different. I was surprised. Like, even his face, like, shape looked different. I think it was probably just a symptom of the fact that he has, like, the facial hair. And maybe his eating habits have changed. But,
like,
his face looked, like, less youthful.
It was really funny, though. I don't think they've ever done anything like that before.
It's the only other times they've done it is when, like, a house guest has made a big change in, like, getting healthy. Like, I think in one of the earlier seasons, it might have been Bunky or one of the dudes from one of the previous seasons, like, slimmed down a lot and, like, quit smoking or something. And so they did, like, a side-by-side thing. But, yeah, I was like, damn, Julie's really, really calling him out. It reminded me of the side-by-side photos that always come out after a president has finished their term.
Yes, exactly.
Of like, look like how Obama much looking aged.
So worn in 8 years.
Yeah, I'm like, they kind of did him dirty, but in Corey's scenario, I think he's probably glad for the glow up a little bit.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know if I would personally call it a glow up.
We missed one other part of their exit.
Oh, go for it.
The washing machine kiss.
Oh, yes. It was cute. It was funny, yeah. They are their lovey-doveyness at first was cute, then got gross to me.
Yeah, when they kissed after, when he was like, they did their speech, they sat down, and he was like trying to get her to turn so they could kiss. And I was like, I didn't get to close my eyes quick enough. I had to watch. I don't want to see it.
But then I feel like because they are self-aware of the fact that people probably find it like gross or whatever, it like makes it good again.
Yeah.
In some ways. The goodbye messages, I think all of these people are forgetting that Corey gets a jury vote.
I know.
They were brutal. I know. Sari and someone else, I think Blue, calling him out, saying he's not as smart as he thinks he is. I'm like, the one thing you don't want to insult Corey on is his intelligence, because he's going to take that to heart.
Yeah, Blue's an idiot.
She's really
dumb. Think she probably knew, like, I'm never getting Corey's vote.
So if I'm going to send it for anyone, it's
she's probably like, him. Everyone in this house, Corey's going to give his vote to them before me, so I might as well just send it.
That's fair, yeah.
Sari, yeah, I don't understand what you're
hers doing. Was brutal. I was like, girl, and like, I get wanting to have your moment, but like, not when he's voting.
She know. Also probably, to play devil's advocate, knows that Corey would kind of love to get roasted by like Sari Fields.
That's true.
And a thing, so it's like, you almost wonder like, how much does she weigh of like, he would like to go down having like a brutal goodbye message from Sari Fields. Yeah. Who knows?
It's the same as like how he was so excited about Zingbot.
Yes.
My favorite goodbye message though was America saying that he's America's favorite player. Is very cute.
Oh, that part was cute.
So cute. It was like, aw. R.I.P. Corey. I can't wait till we get to see him go meet up with Cam in the jury house.
They just become boys.
Oh God, I'm just glad it's not America, because
Cam is Corey's best man at his wedding. Oh, with America.
No.
Oh, that was funny too when Julie was like what's next for you in America, like outside of the house or like after this or whatever. He was like, yeah, we're gonna keep it casual or whatever.
Also, they both said I love you to each other.
Yes, already. You did make me watch that clip with my own two eyes.
Yes, America retelling. She was retelling their I love you story. And I think it was after he left. So, like, the other house guests were like, okay, I guess we have to listen to her talk about Corey because she's sad about it.
If they had to listen to Matt talk about Riley, it was a 4-day romance.
True, very true. I thought it was sweet. I think they're in for a rude awakening when they get out. I don't personally see them lasting. I hope they prove me wrong. Then Julie mentions the lineup for next week, and she says that Sunday's competition is Johnny Mack's Demented Dentist.
And then we rewind and we go, what did she just say?
Yeah, we were like, excuse you?
But we heard right.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. They gave that little snapshot of the little room with the...
That was just a picture of Johnny at work.
Yeah, skeleton Johnny in a chair.
I hope whatever the comp is, they just do like a bunch of sound bites of his laugh.
It's got to be just like his voice.
Because his laugh is perfect for a demented dentist.
True. That must be why. I bet that's why. So I'm curious. I don't think he's going to be hosting anything because I think... He, in the past, has said that he doesn't want to come back to the show.
Yeah, and I did see on Twitter some people were like, oh, I want to check in on Johnny Mac, and he might be a raging Republican.
And, like, a bigot, yeah. And like
not a good Republican, if those exist.
I didn't look, because I have a soft spot in my heart for Johnny Mac.
I know, I love Johnny Mac so much.
But, unfortunately, he may not be the hero that we all thought he was, because apparently he said he would never fuck with CBS after they did the like minority initiative or whatever. Oh, you
for like
call
the
it.
Casting percentage.
Yeah. And then there were some other things that people were like, go look at his liked tweets, and I was like, I'm not gonna do that because I'm sad about it. But that leads me to believe that he probably would not be down to
That's actually even funnier that they then pick him.
They use
and
him.
Maybe they're gonna make it something like not ideal for him.
Uh-huh. Even funnier. We also find out there's a double eviction on Thursday, which I'm excited. I love a double eviction. However, I had this thought, but I can't say it because I don't want to spoil anything for you. So maybe I'll record it separately for people who want spoilers, because I think, I'm assuming, Shauna, you're not going to watch feeds, right, this week?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I will insert a clip later of me spiraling about my many conspiracy theories about what could happen.
Conspiring bitches?
Yeah, conspire away. Sorry, Kat, we're stealing your podcast name. I don't even know if she still has that podcast. I know she does interviews and, like, she's a press person now. It's got to be for her podcast.
Yeah, I just assumed it was for Conspiring Bitches or whatever it was called.
Conspire Away or whatever the fuck it is.
Are you bitches conspiring against me?
Who do you want to win the next HOH? I will say pretty much nothing because I already know who won it.
I mean, I'm going to go Matt because, like, I want Jag to get farther. So.
And Matt just needs a win at this point.
Yeah. I'm going to go Matt or Bowie.
Bowie would be interesting. Just for the sense that, like, I love when the person who was just in danger gets HOH. I want America to win.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason. I think it would be probably boring if...
But if America...
Suri won.
Unless Jack can save himself on, like, a veto and doesn't get backdoored. If America wins, I assume Matt and Jag are going up.
Probably,
And or some variation to get Jag gone. And obviously, Suri and Felicia are obsessed with Matt. So, Jag's going.
Yeah.
So that's why I do normally like a little revenge, but
yeah,
revengeance.
I don't, as far as like Matt and Jag's game, I get why they went after Corey in America when Blue came down, because realistically it doesn't make sense to target Sari, Felicia, or Bowie at this point. But I just don't know if they thought through the fact that, like, now they're the strongest duo in the house. Again, maybe they just didn't have any other options. And Jag is in a terrible position in this duo. Like, you never want to be the stronger person in the duo. Because, like, now from where America is sitting, now that Corey's gone, she's in a good spot because she's pretty much on an island. So people are going to be less threatened by her. They may be like, oh, she's an easy person to get out soon because... You know, I don't want to get blood on my hands and, like, take out someone else instead.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Jag just has not thought about the fact that he is...
Oh, I don't think Jag thinks about much.
Gonna go first before Matt. Like, there's just no way. I think that Matt may be in the best spot right now. Just based on Jag wins a lot of things, keeps him safe. If Jag and Matt are in danger, Jag's probably going to go first unless he saves himself, like you said.
He could just, like, win all the way through, though. Like, think about, like...
That's what I think. That's what I fear will happen.
There's just not much else to, like, compete with when it comes to Flea and... Flea. Flea. Which is what I call Felicia and Suri.
I kind of like it.
Blue. America maybe could pull something out. Bowie's won, like, one comp probably by mistake. I think she was trying to throw it, she said. So
she made it all the way to the last round, but was trying to throw it.
Yeah.
To Felicia.
So, like, I don't know. I've got hopes.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think there is a good chance that Jag could win out. Like, even if he just wins every single veto from here on out, he'll be fine. Because even if he's on the block, he'll be safe. And now there's, like, really no such thing as a backdoor. I think there's only one more week where one person sits out. But, like, you can't count on that.
Mm-hmm. I just wish my girl Mimi was still in the house for me to root for.
So sad.
Even from the get-go, even when I liked, like, everyone this season, after, I feel like, 2, maybe 3 weeks, I was like, okay, I think Mimi's a sleeper, and she's gonna come out and do some big things. But they cut her too soon.
Yeah, I was annoyed because when she went, like, we saw the fiery Mimi, like, of her, like, throwing people under the bus and stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, I think that we would have
gotten that
100%
if we got her for longer in the house.
She was just waiting to do it strategically,
Which is what you should do. But unfortunately, pawns go home. Bummer.
That'd be a good podcast name.
Pawns Go Home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Maybe we can rebrand. Anything else? I feel like we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that one clip I sent you where Matt walked in on Corey and America going at it.
Oh, yeah.
What he said was dry humping, and Jag said, "How do you know it was dry?" And then
he was like, "I don't know."
The Blue said, like, "Why are you going to keep sleeping in the scary room or whatever room they were in? Like, you should go somewhere else. You're just gonna hear them all night." And well, Matt just goes, "I'm fucking deaf."
He's like, "You guys forget I'm deaf. I don't hear anything," which I thought was hilarious.
But yeah, that's all I have to share. Was that clip made me laugh?
Okay, I'm now recording this sans Shauna, trying to keep my voice down so I don't spoil anything from her. She's in the next room. If you don't want spoilers, now's your time to jump. Thank you so much for listening, but if you don't want to know the outcome of the HOH and the nominations and the veto, now is probably time to go because I'm watching feeds right now and I got a lot of tea to spill. Okay, now that they're gone, unfortunately for me, and fortunately for Shauna, Jag won the next HOH. We are living in hell. He nominated both Blue and America. Blue is his target. He has convinced Blue that America is the target and that he put her up because he needs her to fight for the veto to get America out. They just came back from the veto competition. And I'm sure you can guess, shocker, Jag won the veto. I also saw a conversation where Jag told Matt that right before the veto, Felicia came to him and told him that Suri told Blue that she was the target. So now they don't trust Suri anymore because Felicia didn't even know that Blue was the target. So, like, she would have had to make that up if it were a lie. So that also happened. I don't think Suri will go up as a replacement as a result of that, but you never know with these people. I believe Blue remains the target, but I don't know where the votes will go because I think maybe Suri and Felicia will want to vote out America over Blue. I'm not quite sure, but that's the tea. And I mentioned earlier that I have a conspiracy theory, and I couldn't say it because I didn't want to spoil it for Shauna, but the conspiracy theory that I have is that we may potentially get a Jag for HOH 3 weeks in a row, which I hate, but it may happen. And it would be very cool for him if it did happen because he was invisible HOH, of course. He won the following HOH. So that's 2 weeks right there. Then it's double eviction night. So he won't be HOH 3 times in a row. But aside from the 1 hour that like whoever else wins during the double, he could, if he stays, which probably will happen because if he's on the block, he'll probably win a veto. Assuming Jag stays through the double, he will then get to play in the next HOH and could win that. And if he's there, I think he will. So basically, he would be HOH for 3 weeks in a row because the person who wins the HOH during the double only gets to be HOH for like an hour. So we're in for a crazy time. My hope is that Jag goes during the double, but we shall see. As of right now, it looks likely that Blue's going to go first. But who knows? That's all I've got. Roll the outro.
That's a wrap on this episode. To join in on the discussion, use the hashtag OBrotherPodcast on social media. And you can find me at It's Me Bree Lee everywhere. Thanks for listening. Bye.